Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Well, folks, this evening I have my son, Clayton Wood, back on the broadcast with us. We were in Israel together just a few years back, actually right before COVID. And I know that he is very saddened, as I am, by what's been going on over there. There is no excuse for the behavior of terrorists anywhere in the world. The human heart is evil, but there are some folks who go beyond the bounds of what the rest of a sinful world considers tolerable. And we've certainly seen that on display recently in Israel. Clayton, talk with us about what happened during Yom Kippur that shocked the world.
There was an invasion that was from the Gaza Strip into Israel in multiple points by land and by air. And the invasion targeted civilians intentionally. It was not a military invasion. It was a terrorist murdering invasion of cowards. And it was done like ISIS, with a deep psychological impact as an important element that they were seeking to go for, which included taking people's cell phones as they murdered them and broadcasting their murder on Facebook, on that person's Facebook. So going live from their Facebook as they killed them. Mm-hmm. It involved murdering babies. It involved rape. It involved killing and wholesale targeting of civilians for maximum horror. It involved taking hostages. It involved taking hostages and killing Americans. It was in a war that has been a cold war in many ways, where idiots in the United States have argued for and funded vile, murdering terrorists. Since September 11th, the United States government has paid for and armed Islamic terrorists. Mm-hmm. That should make the blood boil of everyone who is listening to me. Since September 11th in the United States government has paid for and armed Islamic terrorists in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. We've armed Al-Qaeda. We've armed and paid for Hamas. We've given money to Iran. And it is more than ignorance. It is evil. It is wicked. We protected pedophiles in Afghanistan. We sided with them against our troops who were very distraught and thought it was impossible that America was working with pedophiles against the people of Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. And this kind of evil is coming to light, and we shouldn't let it ever go back into the shadows.
Amen.
But further than what just happened with the attacks themselves, the majority of student groups at Harvard praised these attacks. And that shows a type of cultural rot and a type of wickedness that is almost impossible to grasp. The people from BLM Chicago who praised the mass murdering terrorists are not a tiny fraction of folks, and most people know that this is wicked. There is a pathology that is within the hearts and minds of some people and has been for more than 50 years, where unrepentant terrorist Bill Ayers, who bombed the United States, was interviewed on September 11th, 2001 in the New York Times and said he was not repentant for what he did. And he is still accepted in some halls of American society. Mm-hmm. He is the professor at a major university, has been, and has served on boards with people, including a U.S. president,
yes,
who funded Iran, who bowed down before Islamist leaders. Mm-hmm. And what all of this needs to be understood as is understanding that those who project ideas of civilian targeting, insurrection, and right-wing terror are liars, and those who have unmasked themselves as supporting terrorists should be understood and watched carefully, because they are enemies of civilization at a level that marks them as on the side of murderers.
Yes.
The United States in political discourse has arguments regularly about Nazis. You're a Nazi, you're a Nazi. No, you're a Nazi. Well, and interestingly, for those of us who despise statism and mm-hmm. see state control as a tremendous problem that the founders recognized and prohibited by the way they created the Constitution, you can't have fascism and Nazi power without large-scale statism.
Yes.
So small government is the friend to liberty and the enemy to that type of Nazism. But other than supporting the murder of babies, and that's a pretty huge caveat.
Yes.
Because there have been tons of people who have supported the murder of babies mm-hmm. for my entire life in the United States. Mm-hmm. Other than that, this should be a wake-up call to the conscience of Americans who didn't realize other Americans were so thoroughly deluded and demonized that they support killing, the targeted killing of civilians.
Amen. All right. Now that is, I mean, thank you for making that so clear and so powerfully clear. In the midst of all this, a lot of folks wonder, where's God? How could God allow this kind of thing to happen? That was the question concerning the Holocaust. How could God allow this kind of thing to happen? And yet, all through history, things like this have happened in terms of terrorism, in terms of genocide, in terms of, you know, we look at it in terms of the ones that make the headlines over here. But the fact of the matter is, Nero was burning Christians as human torches to light his garden for parties. And there were people who were happy to attend and be at the party with the emperor. There's been evil all along, but that comes from the human heart. And it is the manifestation of rebellion against God. And when you say demonized, it's not saying something unkind about those with whom we have disagreements. It's actually describing what God says in his word in Ephesians chapter 2, when he says that that is the spirit that is at work in those who do not believe. But some folks, it's manifested very vividly, isn't it?
It is, and I've preached recently from the book of Jonah, and understanding that we are called to pray for the people in Nineveh to repent.
Yes.
The Gaza Strip is 25 miles long. It's the third most densely populated place in the world. There are over 2 million people there. And anyone who has a response that says, nuke that place, destroy everyone, kill everyone, is not thinking in a Christ-like manner.
Amen.
Is not thinking about justice in any sense. Over 2 million people have been brainwashed to live in poverty in a fake welfare state that is propped up primarily by us and I mean the United States, you as a taxpayer are enabling the terrorists of Hamas to rule a broken joke of a welfare state. But over 2 million people are there. And if they have an inkling of what it means that they've othered someone else enough that they're dancing and celebrating the murder of children, they will rend their garments and repent if any part of their conscience is not so seared completely as to be on a fast track to hell. They can be called to repent, to understand that they support something that is wicked, that is evil, and that must be stopped. And as their fake nation is invaded and all of its leadership is destroyed, the Christian prayer should be for a revival to break out in Gaza, for people to understand, as they did in Nineveh, that they must turn away from violence, lest God's wrath destroy them completely.
Amen.
Now, another important lesson from this for a watching world, aside from mark your enemies carefully and understand that in the United States, we have people who are so wicked that they celebrate terror, is that gun control is deadly. One kibbutz had 12 people who killed 20 terrorists, and they did not suffer a single loss of life. They were led by a 25-year-old woman. The story is beautiful and remarkable, and hopefully a movie is made about it. But all around them, the cowardly murderers from Hamas intentionally targeted places where there were large concentrations of civilians who don't have guns. And so as we pray and as we examine and as we learn and as we grieve, a very important lesson from this is that human rights are predicated on the right to life, which includes the ability to defend yourself, because the government can't get there fast enough. Israel has a fantastic military. It has a highly trained military. It has a highly sophisticated intelligence apparatus. It has wonderful weaponry. And they missed this. The in-person communication, they didn't plan it the way they normally plan it. They weren't on the radio. They weren't on the computers. The intelligence assets they have failed, and they were caught flat-footed. But if that concert had 50 guards with machine guns, you wouldn't have hundreds of people killed and kidnapped from that concert.
Right.
And in Israel, Hamas targeted places where people couldn't and don't have guns. And it is heartbreaking to see people who died trying to shield their kids.
Yeah.
Who didn't have any way to defend themselves, to defend their family. And to know that that is an important lesson for all of us. We pray for revival. We pray for repentance. We pray for God to supernaturally intervene and change the hearts of evil people who have seen other human beings made in the image of God as less than human. And we must always fight and resist that impulse in us to look and say, those are terrorist animals. The people there are animals. They're not animals. They're humans. They're warped humans. They're demonized humans. And the leadership of Hamas should have a short opportunity to repent before they go to hell, because they should be sent there quickly by the military. But if you are relying on government to protect you, you can look at Cambodia. You can look at Uganda. You can, at the number of examples, Nazi Germany, Stalin's Russia, goes on and on and on. But in the last 100 years, and tragically in this attack, we have seen that those who rely on the government to protect them are sheep, and wolves will rip them apart.
Yeah. Now, I know for some people listening, this is not only a painful subject, but for some people listening, it's confusing to be talking about abiding in Christ. Don't let them take away your guns. How do you reconcile that?
I think that laying down your life and being willing to lay down your life is incredibly important, but being willing to lay down your family's life is not something in the New Testament that we're called to do. And in a free society, a society that seeks to protect and preserve freedom, having people who are willing not only to lay down their life, but to do so in defense of others.
Yes.
Having a military, having police, but most importantly, having an armed citizenry is a key component. And people who I love and respect have different beliefs on this. There are wonderful people who are pacifists. But I do not believe that the New Testament commands Christians to allow their kids to be killed in front of them. I believe that we are allowed to defend others and to defend others using deadly force when confronted with deadly force. And for those of us who believe that, and for those of us who study and see this in history, what we see again and again is that nations who even considered invading the United States say they had a gun behind every blade of grass. There's no way to conquer these people. And again, our primary overriding goal is to love others and even our enemies. But it doesn't mean that there's not such a thing as just war. One of the most righteous wars in human history was the war to kill the Nazis. And today, if someone came at the place where I'm staying on vacation with my family and screamed Allahu Akbar and tried to murder them, Lord willing, I would be able to access my firearm quickly and kill them before they could do that. And that is not a sinful act. It is a just act. It is a proper act. And it is an act that allows for human flourishing. Because allowing only murderers, only criminals, only terrorists to have weapons and arms is a type of getting rid of the sword that Jesus didn't teach us that we had to do.
Yeah. If a person says, well, you know, I think we're supposed to turn the other cheek. I believe in turning the other cheek, but I don't believe in offering my wife's face to be slapped or my child's head to be chopped off. There's a world of difference, and you've made that clear. We're not talking about our self-defense as individuals. You know, anybody tries to steal my car, anybody tries to steal my TV, I'm going to gun them down. No, that's absolutely wrong. But if someone assaults the family, if someone's coming after them, to protect them has a long basis for biblical justification. And the idea, again, this is not, you know, everybody needs to agree with us or you can't go to heaven, but this is saying we have a responsibility to counter the lies of those who, A, don't understand, or B, actually have malice in their hearts because they want the government to be in control of everything, and they know they can't do that unless they take away the right that was guaranteed us by the founders.
It's a beautiful thing to look in the United States at the details, the data. If you're a nerd like me, it sounds funny to say a beautiful thing to look at the data, but I really believe that, around concealed carry permit holders. Now, many states have moved from concealed carry to must issue permits. The Second Amendment is my permit, et cetera. But we have data from more than a decade now on literally millions, not a small group, over 10 million human beings in the United States who have concealed carry permits. And as a group, we, I'm one of those people, commit crimes at rates significantly lower than law enforcement. Now, that's not an attack on law enforcement, but what it is to say is that there are sheepdogs out there.
Yes.
And there are lots of people who are willing to lay down their life in defense of others and who are trained and prepared, hoping that it never happens.
Yes.
But if it happens, ready to do what this hero at the kibbutz did, along with 11 other people, 12 of them with not a single loss of life, 12 against 20, because she led a ambush, a counterattack, knew that it wasn't just rockets, and killed the 20 terrorists who were assigned to kill or take them as hostages, to rape and to exchange. It's a remarkable story, and it points to, again, Hamas knew that if they went after the largest concentrations of unarmed civilians, they would do maximum damage.
Yes.
And I would also urge listeners, this conflict matters enough for you to take the time to learn about it. Learn about the history. Learn, as you read the history, who's been lying to you and who continues to lie to you. Gaza is not entirely surrounded by Israel. Gaza is connected to Egypt. Why is Egypt not allowing free travel? Why is Egypt not allowing economic development? Why are the Muslims in Egypt not working well with their co-religionists? And the answer is that Hamas terrorists have intentionally created a false and failed state allied with Iran and bent on the total annihilation and destruction of all Jews everywhere. That evil is the center of their existence, and that is something that we can't have any kind of normal relations with. There's no two-state solution where one of the states refuses to recognize the ability to exist of the other.
Amen. And I remember the devotional that I shared on Wednesday that goes out via email. I shared about remembering the war 50 years ago, the Yom Kippur War. We've been watching events over there since I was a child, because the rebirth of Israel as a nation is the fulfillment of biblical prophecy. And I want to just remind our listeners that there's also the fulfillment that is coming when God has said that the full number of Gentiles will be brought in. And at that point, God is going to bring a great harvest in Israel of people realizing that Yeshua is HaMashiach, that Jesus is the Messiah. And we long for that day, because if all that we do is preserve physical life, but we never receive eternal life, then it's a tragic ending, no matter how it comes. And I long for that day when we will see our Lord face to face. And I long for that time when those who are Israel at heart and not just DNA will be drawn to faith, and they will look upon the one whom they pierced and put their trust in him. I'm longing for that because God has promised it. It's not something that we say, wouldn't it be nice? It's something that will happen. Just as God is mercifully saving multitudes of Gentiles today, there have been more Jewish people coming to faith in the last 50 years than, as far as we can tell, all the previous centuries combined. And, by the way, there have been more Muslims coming to faith in Jesus Christ in the last 15 years than all the previous centuries. So God is on the move all around the world, and we need to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves, and we need to be aware not only of the tremendous rampant evil and rottenness in our country, in our culture, in our government, and in many cases in our churches, but we have got to realize that the gospel is the power of God for the salvation of those who believe. And Amen. We need to be praying, because God, I don't know if this is the leading up to the final battle in the near future, or if this is simply further preparation for the long term. But I wondered, if all the nations are going to go against Israel, how is that going to happen with the United States backing Israel as it has? And folks, right now, the United States is showing support for Israel, but has been diligently, our government has been diligently undermining Israel and helped to set this thing up by financing those who had promised that they wanted to destroy Israel. And when the U.S. finances Israel's enemies, U.S. is putting itself not just on the wrong side of history, but putting itself on the wrong side of God. So buckle up, pray hard, and rejoice in the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord. You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.